Finding the music you love shouldn't be hard. That's why Pandora makes it easy to explore all your favorites and discover new artists and genres you'll love. Enjoy a personalized listening experience simply by selecting any song or album, and we'll make a station crafted just for you. Best of all, you can listen for free. Download Pandora on the Apple App Store or Google Play and start hearing the soundtrack to your life.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
You know, you've talked about not showering some days and only brushing your teeth once a day. But
yeah,
hey,
yes.
One thing we know is your ass is going to be clean. That's for sure.
Very
clean.
You're
good in that department. Very clean. Oh, yeah. We're back. Chris Sims Unbuttoned. It's Chris Sims. It's Ahmed Farid. Ahmed, what's up, dude? How are you?
I knew Pete was going to pick that moment.
Good.
He loves when I talk about being a bidet guy. I should have seen that.
You know, you got strengths in life, you know, brushing your teeth, showers, hosting shows. Yeah, you're okay. Okay. But washing your butt, studio
elite.
decorator, you're elite. I mean, look at this new look you got behind you right now. Jerseys, red hair, professional mic. Who the hell do you think you are?
I am so much better at designing a set than actually talking on the show. It is scary and very disappointing for me. But I needed a change. Kind of like when you changed, when you were in front of the fireplace and the doors deep in the background. And after, I think, 2 weeks, your wife said, no more. Go to a different part of our house. You changed.
Right.
And so I had to copy you, Chris.
Okay, that's all right. You're way more professional than I am. I mean, I know you're into your mic, your camera look.
I am.
What do you got, Joe Dumars behind you? And then who's the
Joe
number
Dumars.
One Whitaker?
So that's Lou Whitaker, my favorite baseball player growing up, Detroit Tiger, double play combination with Alan Trammell. Should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a travesty he's not. You look at his numbers, they're up there with any other second baseman that's in. So, representing Michigan, I want to give a little flavor.
All right, good for you. I got to check that out. I'm not so sure how good Whitaker's career was. I don't remember.
Really
I know
good.
Him. I'm just not sure, but I'll take your word for it. All right, and we got a doozy today for the podcast. We got lots of football. The big fucker's coming on at 2:30. Well, in about a half hour. I shouldn't say that like people know what time it is right now.
You just gave it away. Oh, no. You just gave away
a
secret. It wouldn't be taken.
Oh, no. We're filming at 2:08 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon, just so everybody knows. But we got that. And, of course, we're going to hit the thing that is sweeping the internet, the thing that is sweeping the sports world, Chris Sims' top 40 quarterbacks, where everybody gets a chance to shit on me 40 times. No problem, everybody. I'll just defend myself with all 40 picks.
you create more controversy with this 40 quarterback list than anything else we do, and that's saying a lot because you do create a lot of controversy throughout the year. Do you want to hear some of the reactions, Chris? Are you mentally prepared for that?
I'm mentally prepared. I can't actually. I'm very excited to listen to it. I haven't looked at too much social media the last few days, so go ahead. Let me have it.
Probably a good idea. So we will reveal five more. We'll go 35 through 31. So we're going to do that on the show. You're right, Big Phil. Your dad's going to talk about a few topics that interest him as well. But first, let's get to the reaction to those first five. You got a rookie, a couple young quarterbacks. Actually, they're all pretty young quarterbacks except for Taysom Hill, who's getting up there, although hasn't had the experience quite yet. We'll start with Tua.
Right.
And this one comes from Finn's Insider Hulk. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't every single player that was draft eligible from Joe Burrow's offense get drafted? What will he do without all that talent? So he must be thinking that Tua played with less talent than Joe Burrow, and so Tua should be higher on your list because of that.
I am sorry. I don't, you know, again, what's so funny, this is what I love about it. Here's Miami fans going to be mad that I don't have Tua higher. The rest of the country's telling me, how can you have Tua in the top 40? When you haven't seen him play quarterback in the NFL. So this is what I do love about the exercise. Hey, I like Tua. I understand he's got talent. Do I love him as much as Joe Burrow? No, absolutely not. You know, Joe Burrow was the king of making plays when nothing was there, let alone he's about as good in the pocket as I've seen any quarterback in a long, long time. So he was special that way. And, hey, I understand he had talent around him. I don't know if I necessarily think it's more talent than Tua had. Tua just had two top 15 picks at receiver pick, okay? He's going to have two first-round picks next year at receiver from Alabama that were playing on the field, number 17 and number 6. I forget their names, Waddle, and I can't remember. But either way, it doesn't matter. So that point, again, I understand what he's trying to argue, but it just holds no water in this argument. Tua had the better offensive line. The only thing I can look at specifically and just go, yeah, Joe Burrow had a better running back for sure, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I know that for sure. But man, there was a lot of talent there in Alabama.
Hypocritics wanted to chime in as well on Tua. And Pete told us too, Pete Demolimelitis informed us that Miami Dolphin fans were throwing some heat your way. They're very excited about their quarterback, and they will take no insults to Tua, even though 40 is still pretty good if you haven't played a snap in the NFL. Hypocritex says Tua's ball placement made him elite. One could argue he elevated the play of his wide receivers. Yes, they are physically gifted at wide receiver, but ball placement translates to the NFL, even if your wide receivers aren't world beaters. What do you think about Tua's ball placement?
Well, yeah, he's accurate. You know, I like, you know, he's got a pretty quick release. He does have a good arm. It's not like a great arm, as we've talked about before. Yeah, and he can put the ball on the money to where, you know, you give a receiver to catch a slant route and he doesn't have to gear down or stop or readjust his body to catch the football and do those type of things. Yes, but, like, you know, again, I hear you. I understand that's a point. But, like, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow had good ball placement, too. And a lot of other quarterbacks that I have in front of them have good ball placement, too. Again, I have questions about Tua. He plays small. He played very small when the pocket collapsed. He is injury prone. You know, unlike Joe Burrow and, Joe Burrow and other quarterbacks that we got on here, Ahmed, you know I'm big into, okay, nobody's open or the protection's not perfect. What are you going to do? What are you going to make happen? Because that's life in the NFL, except for like two or three quarterbacks who just have a perfect offensive line and have a great play caller who can get people open all the time. A lot of the times people aren't open and you're going to have trash all around you. And can you make that 20-yard in-cut throw with all that trash going on? And that to me was the biggest negative of Tua. He was not, you can't find too many plays where that actually happens. Yeah, when the pocket was clean and everything was good, whoa, he put the ball on the money and the guy could run. And I'm not trying to take credit away from that. But, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, other guys, I could see them make that same type of throw with people all around them and still throw with that type of accuracy. So life in the NFL, especially when you're a top five pick, is going to be making throws when things are less than or not perfect. And to me, that was one of my biggest concerns with Tua in general coming out in the draft process.
To be honest, a lot of people, a lot of Miami fans were upset that you had him so low. After hearing you talk about him before the draft, I'm a little surprised you had him in the top 40 because you didn't love him coming into the draft. And so I think you actually were being as generous as I've seen you on Tua so far.
Well, he's played a lot of football, right? He's been coached really well. I know he's not going to be overwhelmed by an NFL offense and those things. I do think he's got great poise and charisma and leadership ability. So those are reasons I look at it too. And then, you know, you get into the guys he was competing with for that 40th spot and things like that. Yeah, I had no problem, you know, saying Tua was certainly one of the 40 best quarterbacks in football. You know, the big thing when the draft was, you know, I know it ends up sounding like I end up talking negative because I try to fight against all the normal BS positive points that are always thrown out there for him.
A lot of people were high on Tua, for sure.
Exactly. So I was kind of the guy that was fighting against some of those storylines and things that were said about him, and that makes me seem like I was more negative about him, and that's, you know, what I always say. I hate talking about young kids that way, but that's just the price of doing business.
Let me group the two for Dwayne Haskins together here. King HTTR, hail to the Redskins. There was nothing in Haskins' rookie season that would warrant having 38 other quarterbacks in front of him. He was just in his first year on a crap team with a lame duck staff. And then Glory to Glorzo says, even if you weren't sold on Haskins, 39 is wrong. He played well enough in his final two games to warrant a higher ranking. So it was two games at the end of the season, did play pretty well, might have been the best two games for Haskins in his season. I guess I can see if you were high on Dwayne Haskins last year, how do you drop him down? But you weren't necessarily very high on Dwayne coming into the year last year.
Well, yeah, I think I had him a spot higher coming into the year last year. You know, a lot of the big things, too, with Haskins is, you know, again, he's young. He doesn't have a lot of reps. I recognize, and I don't want to – I'm not trying to sit here and be a hater. You know, I liked Dwayne Haskins coming out in the draft. I did. You know, I was a huge fan of him. And I had him the number three quarterback, you know, behind Murray and Drew Locke. But I made comparisons to – I said, man, his ceiling is like Big Ben to me with the way he can throw the football. But, man – you know, the preseason was inconsistent. You know, the playing time in the regular season, especially the first few games, it was not good at all. It was not. And yes, just as things started to go in the right direction, he got hurt. So, yeah, my big thing with Haskins is I see the potential. I also see the rawness and the immaturity. I also see some things mechanically throwing the football that need to be cleaned up a little bit. But do I think that he could have a really good year this year and be one of the top 20, top – I do. I think he does have that type of talent. But the lack of experience with immaturity, there's a reason they brought in Kyle Allen. You hear murmurs about Dwayne Haskins wasn't the most impressive guy in the building in his rookie year as far as being professional and detailed and doing all the things that you want a franchise quarterback to do. So I'm just not so sure what we have in Dwayne Haskins yet. That's my big thing. And, yeah. You know, again, this group of guys, 25 to 40, it is close. I mean, it's really close. We're splitting hairs when you get into this category. And, again, I like Dwayne Haskins' top-end talent. I'm just not sure about what he is totally in the NFL yet.
Pete got in my ear and said that you do think that he, before you said it, that he could be a top 20 quarterback. And that freaked me out, that Pete can now get in our ears. Did you know that?
I did. Pete got a new toy. He got one of those, you know, producer things that he can talk and do that has a long mic now. He's been doing it all week. I mean, he thinks he's Bobby big time now. He thinks he's producing the Oscars. It's unbelievable with that guy.
We're getting way too advanced at this whole at home thing. We need to get back in the studio. It's starting to freak me out. Okay. Here's Mitchell Trubisky, a dog named Baron. Got a bone to pick with you.
Of course.
Rookies and Hill should not be above Trubisky. For all his flaws, he's 23 and 18 as a starter, has a touchdown to interception ratio of almost 2-1, and would have a playoff win if the Bears had a kicker, and he has a buffoon calling plays. Not terrible points by the dog named Baron right there.
No, it's not terrible points. I'm not going to disagree with a lot of what he said there. Now, you know, the touchdown interception ratio, things like that. Listen, I don't really care about that unless it's egregiously bad. He kind of feasted on the poor. I mean, go back and look at his stats from last year. He kind of took advantage of the bad defenses and the bad teams in football. When it became good teams and good defenses, man, he just doesn't make enough high-level throws or make enough plays with his arm that way to warrant anything higher. You know, again, you know, Trubisky, inconsistent accuracy, really inconsistent decision maker. You know, I do wonder how much, you know, they can put on his plate on the offensive side of the ball mentally that way too. Now, listen, I'm not a fan of Nagy's offense. I get that. There's issues there. You know, but Trubisky right now to me has fallen into that he's an athlete who plays quarterback rather than a quarterback who's a good athlete. You know, he's a little robotical that way. You know, yeah, I know he hurt his shoulder last year, but didn't scramble a lot, didn't make a lot of throws, scrambling, buying time that way. You know, so for all those things, I understand the Taysom Hill one's going to be, you know, people are going to question that. I get it. But in my heart of hearts, my evaluation, my lifetime of being around quarterbacks and evaluating it, you know, I think Taysom Hill could have done every bit as good a job as Mitchell Trubisky last year, if not better. He's a better runner. He's a better thrower of the football. He just maybe hasn't played as much in the NFL. But all those, like the experience Trubisky has is not great enough for me to overcome the talent of what Taysom Hill has. And that's where I gave Taysom Hill the advantage.
So we found one person who agrees with something you said. I'm sure there are more out there. They just didn't want to chime in on social media.
Just one.
And it was about Taysom Hill. But there was some pushback on Taysom Hill. You were right. But here's the one person we found, Victor Tosi. people are going to hate on Taysom Hill's ranking just like they did last year in Brady's and Breeze's, and a year later are going to realize the rankings were right. Wow. Was that you? Did you make a separate account just to tweet that out, Chris?
I wouldn't even know how to open up an account. You know that. I don't have any idea.
You but, have an account.
You know, I know, but I don't know. You know, the old company I used to work for, Bleacher Report, they were the ones that set that up and get it going. So I don't even know how to set it up either way. Yeah. And you know, I have people helping me manage my social media to begin with anyway. Yes. So
you are one of the 10 voices on your Twitter account for sure.
Exactly. I really appreciate that compliment. And again, yeah, a little bit is projecting forward and taking my experience, of course, along with film study and things like I do that way. But, you know, yeah, a lot of people crapped on me last year when I had Brady and Breeze 9 and 10. Damn, I was right. So you can say whatever you want. And there was a whole bunch of other ones I was right about too. So we'll see where it goes. You know, there's a reason Sean Payton is like kind of pushing Drew Brees out the door and is like, hey, this is your last year here. Because he's got a guy that he's excited about. I mean, Sean Payton, he's one of the greatest offensive minds in football the last 20 years. You know, you think there's a reason he likes Taysom Hill? Huh, let me think about it. Oh, because he thinks he can be good and run his offense at a really high level. The guy's got big-time talent. I understand he needs to play more. But just from what I've seen in the preseason and what I've seen in the regular season the last 2 years, things just keep going in the right direction. The quarterback play gets smoother, better, decision-making, different types of throws. Sean Payton continues to trust him more and more in big moments. I think that tells you where he's at. Letting him throw balls in the playoff game. Hey, Drew Brees, you're a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Come out for a few plays in this big wild-card game the next because we need to get Taysom Hill out there and get some plays with him. So he's a special, special talent. The only thing he's really lacking is that experience. And, you know, I think the talent outweighs some of those guys that maybe have a hair more experience than he does below him.
Although I will push back. You said that it turned out you were right about Brady. I don't know. I think you might have been high on where you had him. He might have been.
Well, if anything, thank you. If anything, yeah. Right. I mean, it really, for either one of them, anything, they probably shouldn't have been a hair lower, not 9 and 10, maybe 12 and 13, something like that. So, you know, yeah, this is not going to be perfect. I get that. And, you know, again, people got to take away team success from players at times and do all that. You know, people thought I was crazy when I went Blake Bortles at 70. Here we are 2 years later, not even in the NFL. I doubt he'll be in the NFL. I'll be shocked if he gets signed by somebody. So, you know, again, you know, I wish people, not that they have to trust me, but realize that I work hard and know and been around a lot. And I'm not going to always be right, but I work hard and have a clue, at least a lot of the time.
And when you're wrong, you will admit it. All right, you ready to get into the list again? Reveal some new quarterbacks in the top 40. So you had Brady at 9 last year. He is gone from New England, which leads us to number 35, perhaps the heir apparent, Chris.
Yeah, well, and it's Jared Stidham for the New England Patriots. He is the heir apparent, not perhaps. I'll be shocked if he's not, Ahmed. That's what I'm going to say. And again, I understand people are going to sit there and go, he hasn't played or started an NFL game yet. I get that. I know. This guy was a first-round talent, in my opinion, coming out of the draft 2 years ago. You know I liked him a lot. He killed it in the preseason last year. He absolutely, absolutely killed it. I mean, he's a good decision maker. He's a very good athlete. He can really make plays within the pocket, moving around, throwing the ball different ways. He's a pure thrower of the football. Like, it's not a great arm. It's a real good arm. That's what it is. He certainly can make any throw and has a lot of different variety of throws. Can throw the ball with touch, has timing, can drive the ball, has an aggressive frame of mind that I really like, Ahmed. He drops back and he's looking to strike. He's not looking to go, oh, let me throw a 4-yard completion and just get my completion percentage up and get us in second and six. He plays the position true to how he's coached. Hey, if the first read is like the 20-yard comeback on the right side, he's going to sit there and give that 20-yard comeback a chance. So, you know, I think all of those things, plus poise in the pocket, I'm a big fan of Jared Stidham. I'm a believer. I am. And I will be more shocked if he's not still the quarterback 6 or 7 years from now than I am if he ends up, you know, being not the quarterback after this year. Yeah, I think he's the future.
I love your Tony Romo comp to him, because you with Mike showed some highlights from the preseason this past year of Stidham. And it really it does look a lot like Tony Romo in the way he moves, even his athletic ability. And I thought it was interesting too, Chris, looking up, he was a fourth round pick. And some people may think like, oh, this under the radar guy. He was very highly recruited out of high school, had a lot of the tools, was a top 100 recruit. Offers from Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, right, coming out of high school in Texas there. And so it's not like he just all of a sudden popped up at the end of college. And in fact, it was the opposite, Chris. Maybe part of the reason why he was a fourth round pick is that last year in Auburn was not great for him, especially in some big games.
That's exactly what it is. It's the same thing with Drew Locke. You know, it's really the same thing with Dak Prescott. You know, a lot of people were, oh, wait, the team didn't go good. Let's blame it on one guy. And that's where I pushed back. You know, I had this guy rated above Daniel Jones last year in the draft process. I thought Jared Stidham was a first-round talent. I really did. And just like Drew Locke, you know, if he comes out the year before, like you're talking about his junior year, he's going to be a first-round pick. But senior year, team fell apart. It was the worst offensive line I saw any of the quarterbacks in the draft that were eligible for the draft play behind, you know, so they got steamrolled in the SEC some weeks. And hey, he wasn't going to just go down and protect his stats. Yeah, he made some throws and some plays that, you know, were turnovers or things you don't like to see, but he was trying to win the game. He wasn't just going to take a sack and go, oh, I didn't throw an incompletion or my numbers are still good. There was a lot of issues with that Auburn football team. And, you know, again, you know, this is one of my pet peeves. We got to stop blaming the quarterback for team issues.
Last year on the field, Jarrett Stidham threw all of four passes. Two were to his team. One was to the other team. Did throw in
for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's the depth chart. You got Stidham. You got Brian Hoyer. You got Brian Lewerke. So a couple Michigan State guys behind Stidham there. Rob Ninkovich is doing the media tour, former Patriot. And this is when I searched for Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham, man, Rob Ninkovich came up in basically every story. There's not a whole lot going on out there. We're just basically writing stories about what he said. But he thinks Hoyer's going to be the starter. And I think he's probably not alone in people thinking like, okay, they're not going to hand the reins over to Jarrett Stidham. Hoyer knows the system. Belichick's going to feel more comfortable with him. Josh McDaniels. Do you see that as at least a sliver of possibility?
I don't. I don't think there's any way. You know, they didn't know they were going to get Brian Hoyer in free agency. They weren't, like, sold on that. This was the plan. They knew this. Jarrett Stidham had already proved to them enough that he was capable of taking over the reins for Tom Brady. You know, so this was the plan all along. And, you know, that's the, you know, Rob Ninkovich, I got a ton of respect for him and everything. But to me, that's just the easy way out or the easy thought. No one can wrap their head around that this was actually plan A for the New England Patriots going into the 2020 season. And, you know, to throw that on there too, you know, first off, Stidham, we know what Brian Hoyer is. Stidham's more talented in every facet, okay? Yes, you know, Brian Hoyer's not making my top 40 quarterbacks. He's not. I know what Brian Hoyer is, and he's not one of the top 40 in football. Jarrett Stidham, talent-wise, is another guy that I'd say has top 20 talent. We just got to see him play and do it on the football field first. So, you know, I don't agree with that. And also to this, you know, I'll throw this point at you. New England didn't win one game last year because of Tom Brady. Like, there's not one game you can go back and look at and go, man, if they didn't have Tom Brady, they wouldn't have won that game. You know, no, that they won games last year because Brady was smart and took care of the ball. I'm not trying to discredit that. But they played a different style of football. They played through their defense. We knew that. The offense was struggling. They're going to play through their defense again this year, you know. So they're not going to be asking Jarrett Stidham to be like Tom Brady of 2015 that drops back 45 times a game and throws the ball all over the place. They're going to run the ball. They're going to make sure he's comfortable with the game plan and the things he does well. And they're going to play through that defense too. So this is their guy. They're going to go with it. And if that fails – oh, we have old reliable behind him and Brian Hoyer, and then you bring him in. You don't bring Brian Hoyer in to be the starter, and then what, the Patriots start out 4-5-0, and they've won a bunch of games like 17-14 through their defense, and it's been ugly? And you're going, damn, I mean, they're winning, but, you know, really, how high is the ceiling with a quarterback that's not big time? Is he going to help them get over the edge against better teams in football or playoff times? No. So to me, you start Stidham all the way, and I think that's their plan all the way.
Clearly, like what you've seen from Jarrett Stidham, he's number 35 on your list. I like a lot of what I saw covering this next one in high school at number 34. 34 in your top 40 list, Chris.
Tyrod Taylor. Yes, I know. I had to sit there and look. I got so many quarterbacks and names and numbers. But Tyrod Taylor, Los Angeles Chargers. You know, I love Tyrod Taylor in a lot of ways. I disrespected him last year and made him the 40th best quarterback. Tyrod Taylor, another guy that's got like, you know, hey, he's got his experience, you know, has big time talent. You know, I wish he'd let it just hang out a little bit more. You know, my big issue with Tyrod Taylor is he's too conservative. He leaves too many plays and yards on the field when he's the starting quarterback. That's why they got him out of Buffalo. That's why when he hurt his wrist in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield came in there right away. We were like, whoa, 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 because there's a lack of an aggressive mindset with Tyrod Taylor. And if he just was more aggressive that way, he'd be a starting quarterback for somebody already, and he wouldn't have to worry about that team drafting anybody or anything like that. But huge arm, Ahmed, huge arm. Yeah. I mean, can launch it 60 yards off his back foot, can do anything that way, can scramble and go get 30 yards on a run, can scramble around behind the line of scrimmage and make plays that way. But it is ultimately the conservative nature, his inability at times to see down the middle of the field, or his reluctance to throw the ball down the middle of the field, is what has relegated him into this position already. So I really like Tyrod Taylor. I think he could take the Los Angeles Chargers to the playoffs, you know, but is that going to be enough? You know, if it's a 9-7, 10-6 year, oh, we got to the playoffs and lost to the wild card game, but the offense was kind of and the defense carried us, kind of like what happened in Buffalo. They're going to move to Justin Herbert. There's no doubt, if not sooner.
Yeah.
But if he comes out and kind of lights the world on fire and puts up big numbers and is aggressive and things like that, you know, whether it's with the Chargers or somebody else is going to give him a chance to be a starter and be that guy. So to me, that's what's keeping him at 34. Again, another guy I'd look at and go, there's a lot of talent there for him to be justified as a higher ranking than this.
That's what one Sims thinks of Tyrod Taylor as the 34th best quarterback in the NFL currently. I want to know what another Sims thinks of that ranking. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ahmed. How are you today?
Good, good. You heard your son talking about
my son Matt's not here, so I thought maybe you were asking about his opinion. But I will say this. Tyrod Taylor, Christopher, did not underestimate his talent. It is there. If he played loose and free, he could be, you know, he could be spectacular. He really could.
Right.
Here's what happens. Tyrod Taylor plays for the Buffalo Bills. He finally gets a chance to start. And what do they do? What do they talk about? All right, now, don't turn it over. You know, we're going to win the game if we don't turn it over. Well, then kneel on the ball every play. Okay, you won't turn it over. But he's right in all those things. But that's the way he was taught to play and everything, especially in Buffalo. And that's what kept him in the lineup, got him to the playoffs, all that. But you'll never win big time playing that conservative. And,
right.
But he did it because he was trying to survive. And it'll be interesting to see. I don't think he'll be the same player with the Chargers that we saw up in Buffalo, even though Anthony Lynn saw it, and that's probably why he wanted him, because he's careful with the football, and, you know, they want to run it, play defense and all that. But he's got better weapons, and probably a better scheme for him in Los Angeles. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays this year. And not to get on somebody, but he's really a version Alex Smith. What was the first thing everybody said about Alex Smith every time they talked about him?
Game manager.
Well, you know, he didn't
take
turn the ball over
ball.
Very often.
Yeah, right.
Well, I know. Well, that's why they drafted Patrick Mahomes, because they said, okay, you're not turning it over, but we got guys open. And, of course, they weren't really what I think they could see in the future. Once they got Patrick Mahomes, they were going to run this offense that was going to attack downfield like none we've ever seen. And, of course, their thought process was right. It's something we've never seen before. So
yeah, I always saw I saw him play in high school. I was working in the Hampton Roads, Norfolk, Hampton area. And he did. He let it fly in high school, went to Virginia Tech, let it fly there as well. And so my question always to Chris was whether is he not doing it because he doesn't want to make the big mistake, or has he been told that? The only point of the matter with him in L.A. now is that you're right, Phil, is that Anthony Lynn was with him in Buffalo, probably told him some of those things. Now he's with him in L.A. I was trying to go, Chris, and think, man, he might be one of the five best scramblers in the NFL currently. And I put Russell Wilson in there. I put Josh Allen in there. I think he's a great scrambler. Kyler Murray, of course, Lamar Jackson. Right. That's a no-brainer. So that's the four that I put in there. And then it came down to Tyrod or Deshaun Watson. Ooh. Even Gardner Minshew did some stuff with his legs last year.
Carson Wentz, too. You can't forget about him.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
How about Patrick Mahomes? I haven't heard his name.
Sure. Would you put Patrick Mahomes as a scrambler? He does.
He's a great scrambler to throw the ball.
Right.
He moves. He has one thing on his mind when he moves. He wants to throw it.
Yeah.
And if you make him, you really have to, like, double make him. Then he'll take off and run. And we've seen how that works out. He ran the Super Bowl, a little more aggressive there. And, of course, how about the run he made against the Tennessee Titans? Kind of said it, too, how he could be really good at it. But the way he looks at it, if I scramble past the line of scrimmage, I might be giving up that 40-yard pass.
Right.
So he's looking for that all the time. I was just watching, as I've been doing things here in my office, I was watching the Kansas City Houston playoff game from last year. Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. You know, just the back and forth and the plays and just watching Kansas City, and it was pretty amazing just to see the whole game.
All right.
All right, what we got?
Go ahead. What do you want to say, Ahmed? Did you want to ask one more thing?
Can we pause the top 40 for a second and get into a couple other things with your dad here? Do you take offense to stopping the momentum?
No, let's pause it. I don't, you know, first off, Dad knows my top 40. Dad's my trusted right-hand man. I mean, the one thing I did this year is I made sure I talked out my top 40. You know, you got to talk it out sometimes, right? I can't always just do it myself and talk in my brain. I need my dad to say something smart or stupid or whatever it is to clarify my thought, you know, same with my brother. So we don't need to hear about them with the top 40 and everything else. But
well, let me say this to you, Christopher, about your top 40, you know, but what it is to hear a different opinion and why, and maybe most importantly, because, you know, fans get all in an uproar and they don't understand how you're judging it and all that. You always got to make that clear. But just to hear a reason why somebody's here five places lower than people think you should be or whatever, and once you explain it, they go, oh, well, you know, that's where you win the game because you can justify what you've done. So that's my two cents. So let's go on. What do we want to talk about?
That's what I'm trying to do. Well, you talked about Kansas City and Mahomes, okay? The new thing, the 4th and 15 proposal by the NFL. They're going to take a vote on this. You know, I think they're kind of doing it right now
It's not going to go is what I heard. It looks like it might not be in this year.
Mm.
Not 100% sure.
Breaking news.
Well, somebody reported it that it's didn't look good. I just was downstairs for a minute. I heard it. And I said, oh, man, okay. So
the breaking news is it has been tabled. So that means they're going to vote on it again next year or later on at some point, whatever it may be. But I you and I haven't talked about this much. You know, 4th and 15, when you hear it, you know, what's some of the positives, the negatives, just your thoughts in general about it?
Well, my first thought is the one thing, you know, there's many things to complain about in sports and in all sports. But the great thing about the NFL is they're always willing to change rules to try to make the game better, you know, for TV, for the fans, and then, of course, try to protect players. So that rule is put in just to put more excitement into the game, keep the outcome in doubt, all that. I would have liked to have seen it for 1 year to see how it did work out. If somebody did take advantage of it and end up winning the game, probably not a great year to do it. You know why? Because coaches would have to really work on that part of the game offensively and defensively And you know what? Time is just not going to be.
It's a really good point.
They're not going to be able to do it. You know, as I used to go to practices for all those years, and especially that, I hate to always say it, but the New England Patriots were the kings. All right, it's fourth and four and this and that, and in 18, you know, there's 30 things to it, and here we go, what are you going to do? And, you know, it was just amazing. And always working on different scenarios, possibilities that could happen in a game, try to run the clock out with 7 seconds to go, you know, when the other team still has one timeout and you don't want to pass it, drop back, can you throw it far enough and everything to get 7 seconds off? But they've changed so many rules that it has been good for the game, good for the players. So this offseason, I would think that's one big reason. I would actually think next year it's a very good possibility they'll bring it into play and see how it works.
Right.
So here's a tweet, Chris, that Pete sent us from NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero, saying that there was no official vote on the 4th and 15 proposal, but they did take a virtual show of hands, and it did not have the support to pass at this time. A bold idea that would have needed 24 of 32 votes. Expect it to come up again. So next year, perhaps. And I heard you talking about it with Mike on PFT today. And there was one interesting element that people have made a lot about. Is it an untimed down? Is it a timed down? What does that mean? What are the unintended consequences of that? And one scenario that Mike threw at you was that a team could be down 16 points, score with 1 second left, get the 2-point conversion, do the untimed 4th and 15 play, get it down to the 50-yard line. Then you got 1 second to try to get in the end zone again. So theoretically, you could come back from 16 points down with just 1 second on the clock if this rule was passed the way it was, and you weren't so psyched about that idea.
Well, no. Well, first off, there's a reason one team was up by 16 points. You know, I don't know, as much as I understand we all want excitement and what Dad said, I hear it, but I also don't want the team that dominated for 59 minutes to be cheated in a lot of ways, okay? And yes, I think that's why you tabled this discussion right now, because there's a lot to talk and discuss that, and lots of unintended consequences, and I don't want to see them just, you know, this conversation just gained traction like 10 days ago. I'm sure a lot of owners and GMs haven't really put their brain around this yet. You know, we need to get some smart football people in the same room and have multiple hour-long meetings of talking about certain scenarios and what does happen. And yeah, that's one scenario right there that, you know, again, I don't know if that's right. Okay, there's 1 second left. Now you get an untimed down. Oh, Patrick Mahomes, they call that play in the Super Bowl. Two jet wasp. Whoa. That took 7 seconds, but now they're down at the 20-yard line. And Patrick Mahomes has, you know, 1 second left to throw a 20-yard touchdown to win the football game. So these are little things that I think, you know, along with a lot of other things that need to be ironed out or hashed out about this little 4th and 15 proposal.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit for the NFL for thinking about it, because some other sports don't always do that, and especially when you're the king, you think you don't need to change anything, and I give them a lot of credit for trying to figure out ways. Wow. The onside kick, with the rules of the onside kick and the kickoff, it's really made it non-existent. And I saw a stat out there that in the last couple of years, in non-surprise onside kick situations when it's expected, teams are 0 for 104 in getting the ball back.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's I don't think that's wrong, because I could tell you from the Saints Falcons game and the Thanksgiving, there was two that were covered by the Atlanta Falcons late in the game. So it's very unlikely.
I just throw right stats now out there. I don't tell you that they're right or wrong. I just throw them out there, Chris.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm just telling you that one's wrong. Okay. But either way, the point is that there's a very low percentage chance of that happening. Here's another thing I want to throw to my dad here, just on this 4th and 15. One more question about it. Dad, if you're a team that has built yourself on defense and running the football, let's say you're the 49ers or the Baltimore Ravens, do you want the 4th and 15 rule that, you know, favors the teams like Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray, who are built for that type of thing? You know, to me, that almost seems a little bit of a competitive advantage for the teams that are built one way as compared to maybe being built another way.
You know what? That might be the point that will keep it from ever passing. So, you know, the owners are always going to confer to their coaches a little bit, And the coach says, my God, we can't pick up a fourth and 15th if they gave us three downs. So, you know, because of the way we play. And, you know, hadn't thought about it that way. Some really good thinking by you. And that might be the biggest thing of all. Why did you tell me this like last night? It's on two radio shows. I could have been a genius today saying that because did y'all talk about that today on the TV show?
I did. It's been one of my issues all along. It's
I know you talked about it, but did you talk about it with the teams, how they're built? I think you did say it, yes.
I did, yeah. Just, you know, again, yeah. You know, if I'm the 49ers, I'm the Baltimore Ravens, where our specialty is running backs and our run game design. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, one of the ideas I threw out there is, how about, okay, you can pick 4th and 15, but if you're the San Francisco 49ers, you might not like that. How about you can pick 4th and 2, and you have to run the ball. The defense will know you're going to run the ball. There will be no, you know. So that's what I thought to equalize it. I still don't know if that's equal, but I'm glad to hear you say that. I think you're right. The more and more I think about it, I think that might be the thing that stops this from happening.
Yeah, it really will. You know, and of course, many coaches, and, you know, they hate to see certain changes to many things, like special teams. You know, who are those teams? Baltimore, New England, this, it goes on. The Rams with John Fossil, they expected they had an edge every game they played in because they knew one element they were going to win was special teams.
Right.
So that's kind of been, you know, pulled back a little over time. And, you know, the teams are making great adjustments, but I think, yeah, it's really interesting. I was kind of like, okay, this will be an interesting thing. This is going to go through. They'll want to see it for 1 year, and then it might get tabled like the pass interference. But now as we talk, I'm sitting there going, yeah, but it doesn't have a chance even in the future. So just some good points made by you and Ahmed talking about it. I think that's what's going to happen.
And
you know,
Pete,
I do always say this too. Let's don't change too much in the game.
Yeah.
It's really good. And it's really good on TV. So let's don't get too carried away with it and try to look for another element to give everybody more excitement. I just think all the games, there's very few games that really get like bored watching because the league is the Miami Dolphins. I said to somebody the other day, I don't know what week it was, week 5, week 6 of the NFL. And they just were horrible, got trashed in a game again. And I said to everybody, I said, listen, I'm telling you the Dolphins will win at least 2 games. I might have said 3, but I think I said 2. And resoundingly, everybody goes, no, you want a wager. And then they end up winning, 5? So teams are, you know, the league has got so much the difference between – except for a few teams every year, but there's so many teams that are so close and all the good teams that we don't need to try to look for more elements to make it more exciting.
Pete has fact-checked me, Phil and Chris here. So I was citing Michael Lopez, who's in the data analytics department at the NFL. If you can't trust him, who can you trust here?
Seriously.
Wow.
But he clarified that teams were not 0 for 104 in recovering an onside kick, but in 104 games where a team needed to get the onside kick, that team lost 104 times. And so it didn't, it wasn't effective.
Gotcha.
It was not effective in taking a team who was losing and giving them a victory any of the last 2 years. So,
All right. You were kind of right on your stat then. You just couldn't
kind
read
of right.
fully through. Kid can't
totally
even read.
Wrong,
okay,
but...
you got issues there. All right.
Hey, Phil.
Go ahead.
Can
go
I ask something to your dad? Because it's like we talked about this when people get together and down the road, and when you know they had these virtual a show of hands today for these rulings, and it's just such a different time. And I know there's certain sports that are talking about how the players get back to getting on the field, how they feel safe of it. I'm just curious to hear, Phil, your opinion. Say this was happening back when you were with the Giants and you were in your prime. How would you handle it, and what would your thought process be about getting back on the field and playing?
Good question.
Well, it is a good question. You know, look, you're young, you're playing football. That's what you want to do. It, unfortunately, you do think of the money, especially, you know, even now. I mean, my gosh, if you're making for your first year, you'll make $15 million. You don't want to miss that payday, that's for sure. But, I think I can say this. It's probably not right, but I'd go, I don't care. I want to play.
Right.
Well, Phil, there's a video. I don't care. I want to play. I'll take the chances. I mean, that's just,
right.
You know, that's right. Kind of the young, you know, loving what I do, know the period is short, all those things. You know, you work so hard to get a chance to play football, all those things put together. Yes, I would be willing to take a little chance and play. And the only thing that could stop me, of course, is they say, no, you can't. So that's it. That would be my look at it. And I think there's probably a huge group of NFL players. It's way over 50-50. I'm going to say it's 75-25 that, you know, whatever. Let's say there's a 20% chance you might get it. I don't know what the vote would be. I don't want to guess, but I would say it still would be a big majority of the players that would say, let's go.
I agree with you. I almost think it would be like 90-10. It might even be something like that. You know,
I was trying to be careful, be the little politically correct, you know.
What if it's like in baseball, though? Guys, what if it's like in baseball, though, right now, where they're saying, okay, we're going to have a season. It'll be reduced, and you have to take a significant pay cut because we're not having fans there. I haven't heard anything like that with the NFL at this point, but that could be a decision that some players have to make. Are you willing to play in this environment for reduced salary?
Yeah, well, you know, I've already seen a few baseball players saying, nope, I'm not taking a reduced salary at all this stuff. And, you know, baseball is still, you know, just a different world compared to football. Their union
right.
is still the strongest one out there. They don't give in to anything. And so it's just different. It's different than being an NFL player. I don't know how else to say it. They object to any changes to the game at all levels. And hell, they must have probably went over the DH, probably took them 20 years to get that passed. So it's really interesting. And, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. Loved it my whole life growing up, played it my whole life growing up, everything. But you look at baseball sometimes, and last summer, I watched fewer games than ever. And I love watching the Yankees and Mets, follow them. But, oh, my God, I could watch the first pitch, turn over and watch 20 minutes of a show, and then turn back, and they're still on the same batter. I mean, I'm exaggerating, of course. Step out, fix the gloves, this. Oh, I didn't like the signal. Come talk to me, catcher. It's crazy. I saw a game on TV recently from the World Series 15 years ago. It was amazing watching the game.
Right.
It was the Yankees and the Red Sox. It wasn't the World Series, it was that championship series. The game was so much faster.
Yeah.
They got it. They got pitcher got it, got the signal, threw the ball. And it just kept moving. It was so, I don't know. I don't know why I got that answer, but that's.
Well, no. Well, I mean, I think what you're saying in a lot of ways, and here, you know, I'll say it this way. First off, I love baseball too. I mean, the Yankees, I'm a huge Yankees fan. As my dad will tell you, it's my number one team in all of sports. Forget it. There's nobody I root harder for than the New York Yankees. And I got respect for baseball players. But do I think there's more of a working class mentality in the NFL as far as the players are concerned? Yes, I do. Do I think there's a little bit more of a renegade mental side of the athlete as compared to a football player to a baseball player? Yes, I think football players can say fuck it a lot easier than baseball players, okay? With lack of finding a better way to say that. And the other thing I think we got to take into this conversation is, you know, the Major League Baseball career on average is just much longer than the NFL player career. So a lot of these guys, especially the bottom end roster guys, you know, hey, they know, man, I might only be in the league 2-3 years. I need to strike now. And I don't think they're going to care if they were going to make $800,000 and now it's going to get cut to $500,000. I think they're going to be like, fine, it's more money than anybody in my family's ever made. Let's do it. Let alone, I think it's a bad look for baseball and baseball players when we have 30 million people unemployed in the country right now. You know, people are taking pay cuts. People are going broke. And then here's a bunch of athletes who are going, I was supposed to make $20 million and now I'm only going to make $10 million and I'll never play for that. Okay. I know I'm bagging on baseball players here a little bit, but I don't think that's going to be a good look for the sport. I don't think it's necessarily going to make more fans want to tune in to watch baseball. And I think they better be careful for that.
Yeah. They got problems. They got issues. Here's the thing about the Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball. They couldn't get along when times were good, when actually it was probably easier to divvy up $10 billion in revenue between the teams. So to expect them to be able to figure it out when times are not good and people have to make joint sacrifices, I think is a little bit of a pipe dream there. And it could be different in the NFL. That's an interesting perspective. You want to fire up the top 40 again here, Phil? You want to stick around as we continue the top 40 for a bit?
Well, yeah, give me one.
Okay.
Or two, we'll give whatever you want to do.
All right, let's go. Because this one's an interesting one that I can't wait to hear you both talk about. We're up to 33 in the Chris Sims top 40 countdown with some consultation with his father. 33, who you got, Chris?
Jameis Winston, backup quarterback, New Orleans Saints. And again, you know, just so we know, my criteria, I'm a head coach. I'm on the hot seat. I prioritize what quarterbacks I want to rank them and trust them to be the quarterback of my football team. And hey, Jameis Winston, I love his talent. You know that. I mean, when he's on his game, it's as good as anybody in football. It's top 10 talent in the league. It's wow, what a throw. Whoa, what a play. All of that. But if I'm a head coach too, I'm also going, man, do I really, when my butt's on the hot seat and I could be fired, do I really want to go with Jameis Winston into that year? No, he's not in the trust tree or the circle of trust in that way. So, you know, he's just too careless with the football, as you know. Do I think a guy like Sean Payton might be able to turn him around and change his aspect or how he looks at the game? Certainly. But Jameis Winston has big-time talent. I think my father would agree. I mean, his good is as good as anybody in the game. The problem is his bad is worse than the top 40 quarterbacks in football. When it's his bad and he's playing that way, you go, damn, is he somewhere between 40 and 50? And that's not going to make any head coach feel warm and cozy about it. So, you know, again, I really like the player. I think he's going to go in the right direction now that he's underneath underneath Sean Payton and that tutelage there. And that ultimately is why I have him at 33.
Yeah, really good job. You know, the one guy jumps out, but I just think about backups that you can trust. Of course, Andy Dalton. Where do you have him ranked?
I can't tell you yet, but he's coming up.
Okay,
he's
going to
be in front of Jameis Winston. Thanks for ruining the surprise at some point. But yeah,
well, you know, I didn't make the list. I don't have it sitting in front of me, so sorry, son. As you're whatever, I'll get it. But you know, listen. Here's why I have no argument with that at all. His talent. And for all the fans out there, if you want to argue it, come argue with me because, man, I got a lot of ammo. And the one thing is, when's the last time you saw a quarterback come in and play for Sean Payton, have a bad stretch of games or not play well? Keep thinking. Yeah, that's it. The answer is nobody. And he did it last year, Teddy Bridgewater, the five games he played. Man, it was the basics of basics for the first couple weeks. Then when he got his legs under him, they trust him more. They won some close games. My gosh, did they? Whatever. Then they let it open up against teams they know they could take advantage of. And then he put up the good numbers. And then Teddy Bridgewater said, thank you, Sean. And now he's up there getting paid by the Carolina Panthers. So to think Jameis Winston will not make some of the same changes in his game, his thinking, and being taught, it's going to happen. And just this. What I've known Sean Payton for a long, long time and talked to him many times, covered him, got to watch the whole thing. Nothing surprised me. Christopher knows this. Matt, my son, went down to a mini camp with the Patriots, with the Saints a couple years ago. And I said to him, listen, if nothing else, this will be a great football experience for you. And he goes, why? Because you're going to see things and coaches and all that stuff that you've never heard or seen the ferocity at which they practice and do meetings and everything. And he called me at the first night and he goes, oh my God, Dad, it's unbelievable. I mean, these guys really love football and, you know, they talk it, you know, they got, and they got, what's the word for it too? they talk a little trash. It's just, you know, I mean, they have fun as they do it, and the competitive aspect of it is unbelievable. And how they run things is almost different from any other team, too, in the NFL. So saying all that, that's why I think Jameis Winston is really nothing against his previous coaches, but this is a whole different way of watching an offense, how you put it in, what you do as a quarterback, and he's going to make you have success. That's what I know.
So let me throw this, because you got to talk about turnovers, obviously, when you talk about Jameis Winston, the 30 interceptions last year. Everyone talks about that. Did only have 14 the previous year, and that 30 was by far his career high. So it's not like he's necessarily doing that every year. But when we talked about his turnovers before a couple of weeks ago, Chris, you brought up the fact that he fumbles a lot. And you have to take a look at the fumbles, not just the interceptions for Jameis Winston. So I looked at the fumbles, and last year he had 12, which was the sixth most in the NFL. Carson Wentz actually had more than he did. He had 16. He was second in the league. Daniel Jones was first with 18. But I looked back since Jameis got in the league, who has the most fumbles in the NFL? And Jameis was tied for first. He has 50 fumbles with Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston fumble the ball the most. And I didn't track how many were lost or recovered by himself. And I don't think it totally matters, because sometimes that's just luck anyway. Carson Wentz was third right behind them. Then Russell Wilson, then Derek Carr. But guys, I found this interesting. The quarterback with the fewest fumbles since Jameis got in the league, minimum 50 games started. Who do you think that is? Do you guys have any idea who has fumbled? Not Tom Brady. He didn't fumble that much, but it was not Tom Brady.
Is it Drew Brees? Because I can't remember Drew Brees fumbling much.
Drew Brees. He has just 20 fumbles in 73 games since Jameis got in the league. And so I was thinking, hey, if Sean Payton can teach Jameis how to take care of the ball and not throw as many interceptions, who knows? Maybe Drew Brees can teach him how to hold on to the football and not fumble as much.
Well, I mean, let me put it this way. No, here's the reason why Drew Brees and the fumbles and all this, there's different scenarios. One, when you play for the Saints, 80 to 90% of the plays, you're going to get rid of the football quick. So your chances of fumbling go way down. When you're playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, even Dirk Cutter, where it's down the field, down the field, down the field, you hold it longer. Guys are not open. Now you scramble this, that. They hit you before you. So that kind of lends itself to it, too. There's no question. Fumbling, a lot of times, is a direct result of what offense you are running. Hey, Daniel Jones, last year, he held the ball a lot. Now, one, because I think he's just trying to be a guy that really does the right things and reads the pattern and tries to find the next guy, where I think this year you'll see a more instinctive player because he has experience. It's all everybody talks about with Daniel Jones. Well, he stinks. He fumbles. Shut up. You know, what are all those fumbles? Oh, it could be a center exchange. He could be handing the ball off to the running back who doesn't give him the pocket, grabs it with his fingers. I mean, there's lots of ways. I led the league in fumbles in 1985. You know why? Where do you think they came from? From the center and me. I don't know if you remember that, Christopher. Bart Oates, I said to him, I'm not exaggerating, every play of the game as we'd walk the line of scrimmage, Bart, get the ball up. I mean, it was like, I couldn't help but say it because I was so trained. Because I worried about the snap every single play. So, you know, it's interesting. The guys that have Drew Brees, I should have got that first, because they get rid of the football quick. The reads are easy a lot of times. And when they do hold on to the football.
Screen team. Right.
Screens. And when they hold on to it, they usually got a little more protection. And they catch you off guard to give you time to throw it too. So, you know, but good credit to Drew Brees for protecting the football. But that's just part of playing quarterback for Sean Payton.
That Dad made all the points on that. He made them all. And, you know, the other thing to add to the context of that situation with the fumbles, too, a lot of the other quarterbacks you talked about this past year and things like that are up in the league in fumbles, you know, they're running the read option. You know, and that's another reason you're seeing a lot of fumbles from that. Hey, it's not easy to sit there and put the ball in the running back's belly, have them grab it, and then pull it out. So that's one reason you see more fumbles. Drew Brees ain't running the read option. They don't want him to run around the edge. They bring Taysom Hill in to do that. So he's got that benefit as well. I think that's another aspect. And the last thing on Jameis Winston, too, with which Dad said, you know, again, yeah, we love Bruce Arians. You know, Dad and I love Bruce Arians. We like Dirk Cutter. We like their offense. But it is aggressive. And Bruce Arians is almost ridiculously aggressive at times. And his quarterbacks take a beating, which is going to lead to you holding the ball and fumbling that way. You know, and also, you know, I think why the marriage and Dad likes the Sean Payton, Jameis Winston marriage so much, you know, and I do too, is, you know, how they always used to say, like, two positives equal a negative. Well, like, an aggressive quarterback with an aggressive head coach, that could equal turnovers, okay? And I think Jameis Winston's going to learn in a hurry, like, hey, I don't need to be Superman. Sean Payton's going to get me a lot of easy 5 and 6 yard completions where I won't even have to think or read a defense or do anything like that. So I think that's going to take away a lot of turnovers right off the bat, right off the table there, more than anything. But, you know, too, the reason we make a bigger deal about Jameis Winston than other quarterbacks you talked about fumbling, because a lot of Jameis's fumbles have been like, whoa, that's, dude, there's 7 guys hanging on you and you have another guy jumping into your face and you're going to try to throw the ball down the field, or they've happened in big moments of a game. And I think that's the difference between some of his turnovers compared to some of the other guys we're talking about.
All right.
Well, my last
Phil?
Thing is, Ahmed, yes? I'll say this last thing before I go, is that there's no way Tom Brady is going to run the exact same offense we saw in Tampa Bay last year. There will be adjustments. Mm. They will throw the football quick. They will throw it to the running back quick. There'll be screens, and he's going to get rid of it. Oh, he's not going to sit there and wait for the 20-yard in cut. He's going to drop that thing off for 4 yards to the running back or the tight end or whoever is the outlet guy. And, of course, he should. That's why he survived, hasn't been hurt, still playing at this age. A lot of reasons why. He takes great care of himself and really trains to be a football player during the offseason, which is a pet peeve of mine too, but good for him. You watch him. Why wouldn't you try to emulate some of the things, the fact, how come he's one of those guys I see throwing all the time with his equipment on and working hard on what his skill is, moving his feet
right.
and throwing the ball. So
right.
that, and the next time we talk next week, we'll talk about minority hirings.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I like that.
It's
all
been
right.
a big issue, and, you know, I'd like to put my 2 cents in there, and we'll go from there. But I think it is a big issue. There has to be something. I don't know if I have any of the answers, but I have a lot of opinions on it, so I'm looking forward to talking about that next week.
All right, that's awesome. I like that. Look at you all teasing and doing things for the show. Wow, now I know why CBS pays you the big bucks. You're the man.
Well, you know, you just lied. You can't lie like that because the big bucks ain't true, big guy. You know? So, okay.
All right. You're the man, Dad.
All
good. Thanks
hey,
as
look,
always.
You're welcome. When you get to this age or whatever, I'm not saying anything, but you just hang on. This is it. I'm Tom Brady, baby. I want to hang on. That's it.
Hang on,
okay.
man.
You guys have a
all
great
right,
day.
Dad.
Thanks for talking.
All right, Phil.
Okay.
You too. See you, man.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Finding the music you love shouldn't be hard. That's why Pandora makes it easy to explore all your favorites and discover new artists and genres you'll love. Enjoy a personalized listening experience simply by selecting any song or album, and we'll make a station crafted just for you. Best of all, you can listen for free. Download Pandora on the Apple App Store or Google Play and start hearing the soundtrack to your life.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
He's hanging on for at least one more podcast where he's going to talk about the minority coach hiring soon. That's good. A little tease for next Thursday with your dad. And I'm glad we were able to incorporate him into the top 40, because I know that you've talked to him about these players before and picked his brain, and he's probably influenced some of these rankings. All right, you ready to go to 32 here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Number 32, Case Keenum. The Cleveland Browns, Case Keenum. I got to get used to saying that. But, yes, you know, Case Keenum, again, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, just gets crapped on too much, in my opinion. He's underrated. I know he doesn't, you know, have the Hollywood, you know, movie star good looks, and he's not an Adonis when he walks into the room. He's not your prototypical, you know, franchise type quarterback. So people are always looking to replace him or move on or do anything like that. You know, his talent, it's good. You know, yeah, it doesn't jump off the screen always to where you go, oh my gosh, wow, this guy's unbelievable. Look at him run or throw lasers all over the field. No, he's not that. But as you see in my rankings, I think he's a low level starter or one of the best backups in football. You know, listen, I've seen the guy in person. One, TV doesn't do justice to his arm. The ball pops out of his arm. He's got better accuracy than people realize, you know. Two, he's a good athlete. And again, you know, not that he's like Lamar Jackson or anything like that, but he can move around the pocket. You think about 2 years ago or 3 years ago now when he was with the Minnesota Vikings and some of the plays he made to bring them to the NFC Championship game. So, you know, there's a lot of consistency. And you know what you're going to get with Case Keenum. No, are you going to get superstar game-changing plays? No, you're not. But I could tell you that when a guy's open, he's going to hit it. You know, he's going to know how to read a defense and go through his progressions. You know, and he's going to make a play every now and then. It's not going to be like superstar plays like we talked about, but he is capable of dancing around the pocket and throwing a post down the middle or whatever it may be. So I do like Case Keenum a lot. You know, there are some guys that are behind him that have more talent than him, but I think he's got more talent than people realize, along with some really good game experience to go along with that, which is the reason I have him in front of guys like Dwayne Haskins and things like that, who I recognize have a higher ceiling, but can't play the position of quarterback as good as he can quite yet.
Yeah, and maybe won't too, because there's still some projection with some of the rookie
exactly.
First and second year quarterbacks out there. So last year with Dwayne Haskins in Washington, Case was the starter for 8 games. He just won one of those games, but actually played pretty well. His quarterback rating was 91, not the end-all be-all of quarterback stats, but that 91 quarterback ranking was just behind Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz, and it was ahead of guys like Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, Jared Goff. And you mentioned that 2017 season, his best with Kevin Stefanski over there in Cleveland, big reason why Case is over there now. They gave him 3 years, $18 million, $10 million of that guaranteed. That's not insignificant. Baker Mayfield has talked about what a value Case could be in helping him learn this offense. It's not going to be exactly like it was with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota. But, I mean, there's a little pressure there because Case Keenum could do some things with those weapons they got in Cleveland. What do you think of that?
I do. I think that's why he's there a little bit. You know, a little bit to just put the pressure on Baker Mayfield. It's not going to just be the red carpet and you could throw 20 interceptions and you'll still be our guy and all that. No. You know, Case Keenum, first off, you know, he's really a poor man's Baker Mayfield. That's how I kind of look at him. You know, a little bit of an undersized quarterback who's a good athlete and got a good arm. Baker Mayfield's just a better athlete with a better arm, you know. But if you're Baker Mayfield, you better be on your P's and Q's with a guy like Case Keenum behind you, because if you go through a stretch of 3 or 4 games and you only go 1-4 and you've thrown a bunch of interceptions, Keenum's played well enough and he has a history with Kevin Stefanski, that Stefanski's going to go, okay, you know, I'm into winning football games. I don't trust Baker Mayfield. Here comes Case Keenum. And, you know, too, Case Keenum, let's not forget, all right, you know, like the man that commented on my Dwayne Haskins rankings, not a lot of offensive talent around him last year in Washington. Even the year before that in Denver, it wasn't very good either. So, you know, you need a little support and help to look good as a quarterback. And I think that's lacked a little bit there too. But without a doubt, one of the best backup quarterbacks in football, let alone you could argue that, yes, he could be a low-end starting quarterback in football. And he's a guy that I trust. I do. You give him a little support, he can win you football games. He's not going to lose you many football games. He's not going to do that. And, you know, unlike Tyrod Taylor, he's got a little bit more of a aggressive nature when it comes to throwing the football. And not that he's going to carry teams, but he's not afraid to make a few plays to help your team win the game. And if that means, damn, I threw an interception, okay, so be it. But he does go down swinging, which I give him respect for.
Played college ball at Houston. I looked it up over on Pro Football Reference. They say there have been 7 quarterbacks to play in the NFL from Houston. How many can you name, Chris?
Wow. So Andre Ware.
Yep.
You know, of course, Case Keenum. Oh, man, the guy that played for the Eagles a few years, Kevin Cobb.
Yeah.
Okay, right? David Klingler.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm missing somebody else that I should know here. And I had it in my head, and now I forgot.
There's one, all right, one current and then the two others. So the one current.
Yeah, who is the current I'm missing? I know I'm missing a current.
He's in the
and
league
I can't...
now. Switch Gosh. Teams. He did just switch teams.
All right, who is it? I don't want to delay forever.
Kyle Allen.
Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot. I knew there was somebody in there, and I just couldn't quite place it. All right, and name me some of the other guys that I missed on the list. What I missed?
Back in the day, there was one in 97, sixth-round pick by the Jets, Chuck Clements out of Houston.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember him at all.
And I then do,
the
other, vaguely.
You got to go back to the 50s with the Giants, Bob Clatterbuck, which I kind of thought you probably would have gotten because you are a historian of the NFL, but you missed on that one.
Good old so Bob Clatterbuck. How can you forget him?
Case Keenum, 32. I knew he was going to be high up on your list. Although he was, what was he on your list last year? 28th on the list last year. So he has dropped down just a little bit, Case Keenum.
Yeah, well, hey, there was an infusion of talent in the NFL this past year. And some guys that were behind him certainly played well and jumped up. So, yeah, hey, listen, the one thing I know after doing this exercise, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in football, like a lot of them. And I do look at it, and we're seeing, what, 8 quarterbacks over the last 2 drafts that are going to be starting in the NFL? You know, to me, that's where it's going to get interesting. You talk about these quarterback contracts and big money and things like that. We've seen the Eagles, the Chiefs, you know, Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. Who else am I missing? I'm missing – oh, and Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks twice. Those are all guys that were on their rookie contracts that – went deep into the playoffs or went to the Super Bowl, you know? So again, you know, I don't know why we're paying some of these middle of the road quarterbacks $34 and $33 million a year. That to me doesn't make sense. And I think this is part of the reason why it could get corrected sometime in the near future.
Quarterback battle in Cleveland, perhaps, maybe if Baker gets off to a slow start. There's certainly one in the place of your 31st ranked quarterback. Number 31 in your list, Chris.
Nick Foles, Chicago Bears, yes. And because of my rankings and the fact that I got him at 31 and Mitchell Trubisky at 38, that tells you who I think's better and who should start. And that is Nick Foles, yes. You know, Nick Foles, again, poised, battle-tested, you know, always calm in pressure situations. And I think the thing that I always go back to that's more impressive than anything to me with Nick Foles, because he's not going to make plays running around. He's not going to make a whole lot of plays scrambling or do anything like that. But, man, Ahmed, when you talk about pressure, the pocket collapsing, his ability to make those kind of throws with people around him, that is to me why he's a starting quarterback in football. Because it's a good arm. It's not special. It's probably, if you took the top 32 starting quarterbacks in football, he's definitely in the back half of that, probably somewhere between 20 and 32. But because of that size and his ability to throw 25 and 30-yard footballs with ease, with physical ease, because he's got big hands and long arms and he's, you know, 6'6" and a half, you know, those are the things that jump out to me about Nick Foles. And, You know, that's why if I'm Chicago, I am starting him. He's not going to leave a lot of yards or completions or plays that were there to be had on the field. He usually maximizes or optimizes that. You know, you're going to lose the running ability with Nick Foles. You're not going to be able to do that, which Mitchell Trubisky can. But I think he can make a lot more high-level, consistent-type throws compared to a Mitchell Trubisky, and that's why I got him here at 31.
I asked you about an over-under last time we were on the pod, I think, about how many starts that Mitchell Trubisky would have on the year. What would you set the over-under? And that's where you got into your discussion where you would give the job to Nick Foles to start the year, which is a great point. But you never answered my question. So how many starts over-under you think for Mitchell Trubisky? Or do you think Nick Foles will take the job week one and run with it?
I think he's going to go week one and run with it, unless he gets injured or something like that. But I do. You know, I think, you know, with Trubisky, the constant spotlight and scrutiny all over him, you know, again, and I think a Nick Foles, a guy that, you know, he's going to walk in the locker room and guys are going to go, damn, look at him. He's big. Whoa, he looks the part. And then I think when they see his ability to execute that offense and his ability to make level, you know, throws into tight windows and always push the ball that way, I think it's just going to separate itself from Mitchell Trubisky. Plus, I think if you want to be the Chicago Bears this year, which it seems like they want to run the ball a little bit more, they're getting more tight end play. They've been talking about it a lot there in Chicago. You know, you do that, you know, and then you play through your defense. You know, Nick Foles is the perfect quarterback to go along with that type of formula. Hey, we ran the ball on first. Okay, hey, it's a play action pass. Nick Foles, you just be that big pocket stud, sit in there, hit Allen Robinson on a 15-yard in cut or a 15-yard comeback. I think that's the kind of football that he's made for, you know. And I think, you know, the fact that he knows this offense and all of that, you know, he'll be mentally right there with Mitchell Trubisky from the get-go. And I just think his throwing, specifically his throwing, will separate him from Trubisky.
How close can he ever get to what he did in 2013? That was his career year, Chip Kelly with the Eagles. I mean, he was only 24 years old then. He's 31 years old now. But that was the year he led the NFL in touchdown percentage, yards per attempt, quarterback rating as well. Yeah, I mean, that was a huge year in a perfect offense, it seemed like, for him.
Well, it was. It was a perfect offense. And, you know, again, I don't want to take anything away from Nick Foles. I don't. I mean, he's a real good player, as we've seen. And, of course, if you put a real good team around him, we know he can win the Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I hate when people say that. He didn't. The Eagles did. But he was a big part of it, and he helped out.
Yeah.
He made so many big throws in that game. I mean, just one after another where I kept going, okay, the Eagles are going to fold. Nick Foles is going to fold. This is going to be over. And he just kept going, wow, another completion. Whoa, big-time throw. But, you know, the other thing you got to take into account about that special year in Philadelphia, Ahmed, is, you know, nobody knew Chip Kelly's offense yet. So, yeah, Nick Foles had a good year, but it was an offense that caught the NFL by surprise too. And I think you can attribute some of the stats to that along with Nick Foles playing well. So, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I do think the offense was definitely something new that the league had not seen to that point and caught some people by surprise.
An open competition. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have already said that, an open competition, which will take place on the field whenever they can actually go on the field. Nick Foles, 31. All right, Chris, that was good. That's the end of our list today. We cannot reveal any more, even though your dad wanted to give away Andy Dalton's place on the list. He almost had a slip right there.
Well, he's coming up now that we know that. I mean, he's coming up at some point. It might not be, you know, on Monday's Pro Football Talk show, but I'll say he's somewhere in the 20s, okay? I'll let that one out. Big teaser there. Big teaser. But, hey, it was good. And, again, I encourage anybody who listens to my podcast or pay attention to my social media, sees my rankings, give me your thoughts. I don't care if they're negative or positive. I want to be here to, like, help people learn, answer. And I'm not – yeah. And Pete DeMolina-Light has just got in my ear and said, yeah, don't worry. They're shitting on you. Don't you worry. But, you know, again – I want to be able to explain these to people and use my experience of being around the NFL and being around NFL quarterbacks my whole life to where my logic is and where I had them ranked. I know I'm not always right, but I think my history in this little exercise over the top last 4 years, I'll put it up there against anybody. All right. I will. And I know it's not always a popular thing to do. It's not always popular to work with you, but I like doing it.
True.
So that's just the way it is. You're the man, dude. Fun show as always. Thanks for leading the charge.
You too, Chris. Talk to you soon.
Peace out. Peace out, homies. Be good.
Finding the music you love shouldn't be hard. That's why Pandora makes it easy to explore all your favorites and discover new artists and genres you'll love. Enjoy a personalized listening experience simply by selecting any song or album, and we'll make a station crafted just for you. Best of all, you can listen for free. Download Pandora on the Apple App Store or Google Play and start hearing the soundtrack to your life.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.